Well, thank you. In these 10-minute messages, it doesn't seem right, really, to move away from the English Puritans without mentioning John Bunyan. His fame rests very largely on his book, The Pilgrim's Progress, now available, by the way, in over 200 languages. Although there are quite a lot of other very good reasons why we should know about him too. He was the eldest child of his father's second marriage, born in a little village called Elstow, 1 mile south of Bedford. The year was 1628. He tells us that poverty, not piety, was the mark of his home. As a matter of fact, he did not regard his parents as Christians, and he mentions that he learnt a full range of swear words from his father. Father was an odd job man, a labourer who had a special skill in mending pots and pans, and John Bunyan was to make a poor living for many years using the skills which he learned from his father. His education was very poor. Unlike the majority of the Puritans, even Marxist historians concede that the Puritan movement had intellectual force and coherence in addition to its spiritual power. When Bunyan was 16, his mother died, and his father remarried within 2 months, and I've no doubt that he was glad to leave home at that time when he was 16, for that was the age when you could legally join the army. Bunyan served in Cromwell's parliamentary army, fighting King Charles I. He tells us very little about his army service, except that on one occasion he and a friend exchanged duties, and his friend was killed by a musket ball. He was demobilised 2 or 3 years later. He returned home and then was married at the age of 19. "We didn't have a dish or spoon between us both," he records. And his wife's father, though he was very poor, was godly and gave his daughter 2 Christian books, "A Plain Man's Pathway to Heaven," and the other one was "The Practice of Piety." Their first child, Mary, was born blind, and Bunyan started to go through severe mental and spiritual struggles in his attempts to find some sort of meaning for his life. He even cleaned up his outer life. He started going to church, but he had no sense of sin. It was round about this time that a copy of Luther's commentary on Galatians came into his hands. Bunyan records that it was falling to bits with overuse. Now, Luther had gone through severe spiritual struggles before the light of assurance had shone into his dark soul, and this book genuinely helped Bunyan. One writer says it was spiritual dynamite to him. Bunyan records that he now regarded himself as a brisk talker, quote unquote, when it came to matters of religion. But one day he was silenced. He was walking through Bedford, and 3 or 4 ladies were chatting together in the sunlight about the things of God. Their talk, he records, was about a new birth and about the work of God in their hearts. And it made an enormous impression on him. By the time he was 25, he was converted and he was listed on the church roll as the 19th member of the Bedford Christian Meeting. It was a sermon about the love of God, which was used by the Spirit to lead him to a saving faith in Christ, but it was not a crisis conversion. He never could date the moment when the great change took place. All that mattered to him was the change had taken place. Soon it was obvious to the church he had the gift of preaching, and he was made an office bearer. The year 1657, the wife of his early youth had died, and so when he was 31 he remarried. But sadly, that was to coincide with the beginning of his 12 years in prison for his beliefs. Can you imagine the scene when his blind daughter would go to the prison with soup for him and then stay and help him make and sell laces? The prison years allowed him to study, and they allowed him to write, and conditions were not always as bad as in some modern prisons. For instance, sometimes he was let out to preach, and once he even went as far as London. When he was 44, he was released finally. He'd been elected pastor of his church. A barn was fitted out as a chapel, and he met with a God-given success. Why he was such a good preacher is clear from something his great friend John Owen said. The immoral King Charles II said to John Owen, "Why do you go and bother to listen to the pratings of that Bedford tinker?" Owen, who was no mean preacher himself, said he'd give up all his learning if only he had Bunyan's power to touch the human heart. We know from a contemporary writer that if one day's notice was given that Bunyan would be visiting London, a crowd of 1,200 would turn up at 7 a.m. on a dark winter's morning, and if the day was a Sunday, the number would be about 3,000. In August 1688, he set out for London to fulfil preaching engagement. He made a detour to Reading to patch up a quarrel. He was soaked by the heavy rain, and in spite of some very good advice from his friends, he preached though he was feeling ill. He was exhausted, and the result was pneumonia and death at the age of 59. He left £42. He never lived to see William of Orange's reign and the coming of the Great Toleration Act, but he's left behind many thoughts and lessons suitable for us in 1994. Here's a few of them. First, note, when he started going to church, he says he enjoyed it, but he had no sense of sin. Now, we talk a lot about the sinfulness of sin, but it would be very good, I suggest, to examine ourselves right now. Have you got a sense of sin? Second, Bunyan went through spiritual agonies because he thought he could work up righteousness enough to put himself right with God. Peace came only when he gave up that idea and trusted only in the righteousness of Christ freely given to the believer. That applies to us. Third, he had no formal education, and that's no hindrance to usefulness. Remember, it is the capacity to touch the human heart, which Bunyan displayed in abundance, and that matters most. And lastly, he hated, passionately hated, unhelpful controversies between equally godly and equally Bible-led people. the strict Baptists of his day attacked Bunyan for his conviction that different views about water baptism ought not to close the Lord's table to real believers who happened to be non-Baptists. He wrote at least two books arguing that closing the communion table to born-again non-Baptists was wrong. And the arguments he used are a reflection of the man, big-hearted, generous to a fault, zealous for the truth, keen to see a heartfelt unity among Christ's blood-bought people, even if they held different views from him. The Christian who rises up above the parties and groups within the wider church, a fervent evangelist and a most distinctive writer. Bunyan's insights on evangelical church unity and many other matters justify us in trying to keep his memory fresh, for he was a great Christian. And Pilgrim's Progress will ensure that he is never completely forgotten.